We now bring to these microphones David James. We're searching all over the world for David. I think we've found him. I believe he's in the Philippines, and he's ready to have our weekly conversation. David, am I right? Are you indeed in the Philippines?
Yes, I am, and I'm actually going to be here 2 weeks. The first week I'm at Grace Christian College, which is a college in one of the two Chinatowns in Manila. And I've been the keynote speaker and doing a number of seminars in two different Christian educational conferences. First one, a three-day conference for Christian administrators and school principals, and the second one, in the middle of right now, a bigger conference for educators, Christian educators from all over the country. And this second one is a larger conference of the two. We'll probably have around 1,500 or 1,600 people in this particular conference. And I'm excited that my son-in-law, David Johns, is with me, and he's participating in the conferences as well. So it's a great time, and I've been speaking on a number of different topics that are relevant to Christian education as well as current events and even prophetic issues.
Well, praise the Lord for the opportunities the Lord has opened up for you there in the Philippines. I guess then you were out of the country on election day when your hometown buddy, Mike Pence, was successful along with the president-elect Mr. Trump. They are now ready to go into office in Washington. That is somewhat strange as I'm even saying it, thinking about what was going on before the election.
Well, that's true, and I have to admit, it was pretty tough for me to be out of the country from the perspective. I tend to be a little bit of a political junkie, I guess, and I was just thinking that I would have loved to have been sitting there watching the coverage last week, and so we're in the Philippines here in Manila. We're 13 hours ahead of you, so I had to wait until Wednesday morning, and then the results were slow coming in as far as calling a winner. So it was well into the afternoon, even late afternoon, before the election was finally called in Donald Trump's favor.
Well, I have to tell you, David, it was late morning for me because I stayed up until they went to the very end in their prognostication as to who would be the next president of the United States. At least you were able to get some sleep, but same result either way. Hey, in the Philippines, what do they think about Donald Trump being elected as president?
Well, it's very interesting. There seems to be something of a mixed bag. I know that some people, particularly among Christians, seem to be fairly happy that he is president-elect. For example, the director of the college that I'm at, when I told him that the election result had finally came in, he kind of gave a little cheer, and then he gathered some of us who were nearby as I gave him that news, and he said, "Let's pray." And so he asked me if I would lead a prayer for President-elect and for the United States and what it would mean both for the United States and for the world. As I've talked with others, they have even compared Donald Trump to the president of their own country, which seems a little bit odd because he hasn't necessarily gotten great press, and we can talk about that in a moment.
Well, we'll do that, but let me just say that was the direction to go. That president of that university there in the Philippines, right on target. 1 Timothy 2 says, pray for those in higher authority. Many of us were praying before the election. We must keep on praying with the new president-elect and Mike Pence as his vice president-elect and all that's going to be happening. You mentioned the president there in the Philippines. He's been portrayed in the United States as being a really bad guy. Do you know whether the media coverage is actually accurate on that issue?
Well, that's interesting. I did a seminar today, and I did sort of a straw poll, and I asked the people in my seminar, I guess there were probably about 80 people in my particular seminar, and what they thought about their president, President Duterte, and what they thought about him as being good for the country. And I have to tell you, about 80% of the people raised their hands and said that they thought he was a good president. And I've talked with a couple of different people, including one man who is the director of a well-known international Christian ministry here in the Philippines, and he said, along with another man, that these reports, the negative reports about this president, aren't true. They say it is true that he's cracking down on drugs, but they say the bigger thing is that he is not fitting the mold of politicians, where politics are very corrupt here. So in that sense, that he's breaking the mold of the typical politician and being outspoken, in that sense, he is like Trump. And they're saying that probably 80% of Filipinos are glad he's in power, as well as probably the vast majority of Christians. So it's interesting what the liberal media will portray to what Americans about what's happening, not only in the U.S., but around the world.
I'm not sure that the media has ever been right on target as it relates to truth. Anyway, that's a very important update you've just given us, David. Let's go back to the conference that you're in. You had mentioned to me that one of your keynote messages was going to be what lies ahead on God's prophetic calendar. Explain and get into that a bit.
That's right. Actually, that was the opening message that I gave for this second conference, which began this morning. And, you know, I was talking to them as Christian educators, that as Christian educators, we need to be living our lives as examples before our students, and we live our lives in light of what's coming yet on God's prophetic calendar. We know that all the prophecies that were fulfilled in the past were fulfilled literally, so we can expect that those are yet to be fulfilled will also be fulfilled literally. And also, not only do we live lives in light of what's coming and what's ahead, but we also prepare our students, the next generation that we're training up, to also live their lives in light of what's coming. And for that to happen, we have to be aware of these things and be taught these things and become good students of the Word of God, because so few, even Bible teachers, are teaching on these things. So I mentioned to them, for example, that the rapture is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar, and we need to live in light of that. And then I mentioned and spent most of the time talking about the day of the Lord, that the day of the Lord is something that is mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and I would say lays the foundation for the message of all of the prophets, where they're saying over and over again, and many of the prophets say this, repent, for the day of the Lord is coming. And so it's the major event ahead after the rapture of the church.
You know, that's very interesting that that's the way and the direction you would take in speaking at this conference. The day of the Lord, that phrase is used some 72 times in the Old Testament, does have a definite meaning, and of course that is key to understanding the future. How there at the conference did you define the day of the Lord?
Well, of course, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, mention it specifically, and perhaps Joel mentions it in probably the most well-known way in Joel chapter 2, because it's quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, where he says that these events are going to happen, this judgment's coming before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And I told them the definition that I would understand, one working definition of the day of the Lord, is that any time God intervenes in history in order to prompt repentance and then bring judgment on his enemies, but then also bring deliverance and restoration and blessing to a faithful remnant of his people. So it's not just the future event that's coming. That's the great and terrible and ultimate day of the Lord, but there have been many days of the Lord in the past where God has intervened in these ways.
You know, I've got to tell this little caveat. I was speaking with Dr. Charles Ryrie, a great prophecy scholar and teacher as well. We were in Bermuda. Of course, David, somebody had to do it. You go to the Philippines, I go to Bermuda. But we were over there, and I was speaking on the issue of the day of the Lord, and I gave a definition very similar to what you just said. I walked from the platform after speaking and went by Dr. Ryrie, and he said, "Hey, that was a great definition of the day of the Lord." And I felt really honored that he would recognize that. And then he paused for a moment. He said, "Yeah, that is the definition I give to the day of the Lord and wrote in my books." Well, that's probably where I got it from anyway. So if the day of the Lord is made up of two parts, wrath and judgment, followed by restoration and blessing, prophetically, that does sound like the pattern of the tribulation period followed by the millennial reign of Christ.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what I teach. You know, when I teach the course on dispensationalism and the course on God's plan through the ages, I depart a little bit from many traditional dispensationalists, and I am certainly firmly in the traditional dispensationalist camp, but a lot of dispensationalists say that the last dispensation is the dispensation of the millennium. But I look at the day of the Lord, which is, I would say, one of the most significant, if not the most significant Old Testament theme, and say that the day of the Lord is made up of two parts, not just judgment, but judgment followed by restoration and blessing. And you're right, it fits exactly the tribulation and millennial kingdom pattern, that two-part pattern. So you have the rapture of the church born on the day of Pentecost and taken away from the earth at the rapture, and then begins the day of the Lord, the two-part day of the Lord.
Well, what I hear you saying then, David, is that the rapture, fitting into this scenario, does not actually begin the day of the Lord. The rapture is before and then the day of the Lord. Am I understanding you correctly?
Well, that's right, because there has to be an indeterminate period of time between the rapture and when the day of the Lord begins. And the day of the Lord begins with the affirmation of the peace treaty in Daniel 9:27, and that the Daniel 70th week, that is when the day of the Lord begins. And so between the rapture and between that time, the man of sin, the Antichrist, has to rise to power, because you have to have someone who's able to put into place and enforce a peace treaty between Israel and the neighbors that want to destroy her. So it takes time, and there also has to be the revived Roman Empire come into place.
Well, okay, then, in light of your discussion on the Day of the Lord there at the conference and in our conversation today, do you think that there is any potential end time significance, I'm going to take you back to the present, related to Donald Trump being elected president?
Well, I know you and I are both very careful about tying specific current events to any biblical prophecies, because that's just a dangerous thing to do. But I would say this, that God has consistently worked in history and brought about other days of the Lord in connection with major geopolitical upheavals and events throughout history. And whether he does that this time or not, we don't know. But we can say this, that for the United States and around the world, the election of Donald Trump to president is probably perhaps one of the most significant geopolitical events and perhaps even upheavals we'll see of our lifetimes.
And we are absolutely positive, according to the Word of God, that God brought government, human government, into existence, and he has used it in the past. And according to Revelation 17:17, he will use human government in the future. Whether it's with Donald Trump or not, we'll have to wait and see as far as that's concerned. David, I'm so glad you were able to connect with me today so we could have our conversation. I know you're way over there on the other side of the world. I want you to have some good conferences. We'll be praying for you, and we're looking forward to another conversation with you next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always good to be with you.